All right, we got an interview we're excited for, but before we get to that...
We made it. Jaylen Brown, here we go. Trey Murphy, welcome. Get ready to learn Portland, buddy.
Not doing that to anybody. There is a bit of news out of the basketball world, and that is we have re-signed a player. A player has been re-signed, ladies and gentlemen.
How about that?
Robert Williams, Time Lord himself, has agreed to sign a 3-year, $44 million contract extension to return to the Portland Trailblazers.
Suck it, Lakers.
Also, Jan Hansen not playing for the next 3 years. Really cool. Glad we used a first-round pick on that guy. We'll digest more to that news at the top of the hour because that is a big move that we weren't sure whether it was going to happen or not. And now a little bit of the picture makes sense on how this is all going to look.
We could ask our guests. We could just start it off with,
oh, should we get basketball? That Ooh, that's a good point. Maybe we can do that. Also, in 3 years, will that be the last year the Blazers are playing in Portland before they move to Kalamazoo?
Kalamazoo.
Joining us now is John Isaacs, a friend of the program. He's a P1, so excited to have him on. He is the Executive Vice President of Public Affairs for the Portland Metro Chambers, and you can find him on Twitter at John Isaacs OR. John, grade the contract. Robert Williams, 3 years, $44 million. How we like the deal?
I would give that an A. I'm really happy to hear that. I learned about that just now from you guys. I hadn't read the news yet. And of course, I would say, hopefully we get the Robert Williams of the last season and not the Robert Williams of the seasons before, who hardly played. So, we saw what he could do last year. I mean, he was great. He's a huge part of the team, so I'm happy to hear that.
I love to hear a non-sports guy be a ball knower. That makes
me really
happy.
He's a noted youth baseball coach too, John Isaacs, okay?
Well, okay, then let's grade the Ja trade real quick before we get into the city details.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's grade the trade. Ja Morant for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray.
Let's just say I have a lot of questions about that trade.
And incomplete for now. Let's wait and see on that.
I read the ESPN analysis that sort of tried to make an argument for it of why we'd have 3-point guards. I guess maybe we'd play Scoot off the ball. But, you know, I'm not going to comment on any of the other stuff that Bill Oram wrote about. I just don't understand why we need 3-point guards on our team. So, especially after Scoot played last year. As you guys can see, you're giving me one of my life dreams of getting to be on the radio and talk about the Blazers.
This is perfect. This is why we would have had you on. Let's get to the important issues, John, because I know, like, it's a very complicated time in Portland for fans. There's a big split about the new ownership and how is it looking and what is the future of the team. I got a columnist telling me they're going to leave. I got other people saying they're doomed. This isn't going to happen. So we wanted to bring you on and understand the process a little bit more and just kind of where we're at. And so that's kind of where I'll start. There seems to be five alarm fires all around me in this doomsday scenario out there. Is that the feeling you have? Where are we at and how concerned should we be right now about where the process is at?
Well, I hope to bring some calm to the conversation today, and I don't want to give the impression that we shouldn't be concerned that the Blazers may leave our market after 2030. I don't want to give that impression. I also don't think that it is a tremendous risk as long as we can keep our heads together, approach this like a business transaction, and kind of avoid all of the ancillary noise that just is out there with any big decision that anyone has to make anymore. It's impossible to get through a process like this calmly in our current environment without, you know, just, you know, crazy hyperbole being thrown around by various groups. The reality is we have a pretty solid, you know, framework of a proposal on a table that's, you know, just from a dollars and cents perspective, an exceptionally good deal for a city when you're being asked to only pitch in 20% of a renovation for a what should be a world-class entertainment facility that we own. If someone came to you and said, hey, you can renovate your house for, you know, 20%, we'll pay for 80% for you, you would take that deal. And that's essentially what we're looking at here. It's got to go through a process. There's lots of leaders involved who want to think deeply and make smart decisions. So we just need to be patient and let it go through the process. The mayor did mention at our event last week that he's a little concerned it's not moving fast enough. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's a little bit of a concern. But the process needs to play out. And where it's at right now is we all know, and really the thing that is the biggest, I think, discussion point in this is the use of funds from the Portland Clean Energy Fund. That needs to be approved as a recommendation by the Portland Clean Energy Fund Committee. So we're not even at the city council level yet. We're at that level. And that is an independent committee. They make their own decisions. And I have to say, you know, that's a pretty serious group. They really have made, as the fund has become mature and it has really good staff and a strong grants committee there. They really take their time to make sound decisions. So we need to give them the space to do that.
Yeah. If they say no ultimately and decide that, what's the pivot from there for the funds?
That's a good question, but I mean, that there would be a pivot. I mean, that's the other thing I think is important. If, you know, if you look at the city's allocation comes from three sources. And the one thing I think I want to say here on the air is that anyone listening to this who's a Portland taxpayer is not being asked to put any money into it. Okay. You, if you are listening, you are not going to put any of your taxes into this investment in the Moda Center. The three sources are A, you know, just $50 million from the sale of the franchise. They're just proposing to put that right back into the arena. The second source is taxes on activity at, in and around the arena and the arena district, whatever that becomes in the future, as you go see a concert there, or like when my kids go with my dad to see the monster truck show every year, which they can never get me to go to. I'm glad my dad loves that. My kids love going to their grandfather. The taxes they pay will go back into that, right? So that's the second source. And then the third is the Portland Clean Energy Fund. If the PSEF funds are not approved, I am optimistic they will be. Then yeah, we'll have to have a discussion about another source for that, but it's not the whole thing. And so even that wouldn't be catastrophic. I think the biggest thing that we have to focus on, though, is getting this done in a time frame in which a renovation can happen in a schedule that works for both the franchise, for the fire, you know, other tenants of the arena. Plus, we have the Women's Final Four coming in 2030, right, and we want to have all of this done by that time, too. So.
Yeah. A lot of balls in the air. We're talking with John Isaacs. Yeah. He is the Executive Vice President of Public Affairs, Portland Metro Chambers, at John Isaacs OR on Twitter. Now, your group was, when we played some audio from it, you guys put on the event with Tom Dundon last Wednesday, and it was a big deal for him to come and talk in front of a crowd. And it was interesting to hear from some people there of, man, this guy doesn't seem to care about the city at all. He's just this straight shooting business guy. There's no empathy whatsoever. He's saying we're not going to pay for it. The taxes are, you know, all of this is in place. That's the tax that we're paying. I'm just curious, as you were behind the scenes putting this on, what your big takeaways from that event was, and how it was received, I guess, from a fan standpoint, and the noise that was going on around the arena as you had protesters outside as everybody was walking in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to really talk about the protesters. I just, you know, they're just not really focused on the facts here. I think that's just a lot of, you know, political noise. Our event, first of all, was great. And Tom Dundon wasn't the only speaker. We had, you know, the opening presenter was the executive director of Albina Vision Trust, which is the primary developer of that neighborhood. It's bringing back a neighborhood that the construction of the Memorial Coliseum was actually a part of displacing. So, you know, it's kind of a cool story about the renovation of the Moda Center. Winta made the case that, you know, we're not going to have an Albina Vision without the Moda Center. It's always been an essential part of it. We also had a great discussion from four of our most important elected officials. Tom Dundon, of course, was the star of the show. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend, you know, we were like everyone else. We wanted to hear what he had to say. We were meeting him for the first time, right? We invited him into our event. And, you know, presented a great audience for him to speak with. And of course, we would have liked to have him say more. But I still think he said things that are really important for us to think about, even though he was a man of few words. And I think my biggest takeaway is that for him, whether, you know, for better or worse, whatever anyone thinks about it, we'd all love him to talk about how much he loves Portland right now. That's not going to happen. This for him is a business transaction that he wants to get done. And you know, that was just my takeaway. This is a non-emotional business transaction. He wants a good deal for his business. He's there, the primary tenant of a building. The state money that's already been approved requires a 20-year lease from the Blazers. So we know that question's already been answered. If we get all of the financing approved, the Blazers are in for a 20-year lease because the state funds won't even be released until that's done. So I encourage folks to think of it that way. If you are a business owner, you are the biggest tenant of any building. You are ready to commit 20 years as the primary tenant. You want to know the building's going to be taken care of, right? No one's going to re-up a lease in a building, whether it's a marina or a commercial building, that the owners are not making investments to keep a first-class arena that you can operate a successful business in. And that is the way he's approaching it. And I know that we a lot, you know, we love the Blazers. I mean, I've been a Blazers fan since 1980. That was my first Blazers game, guys. Okay, they are part of this city to our heart, and we want an owner who loves us and loves them. Right now, it's not going to be that way. We need to get a solid deal done for both the community and all of the tenants of the Moda Center. You know, we're so focused on the Blazers. We don't talk about the Fire. We don't talk about all of the world-class shows that come here. We want to be a world-class city. We need to have a world-class arena. And I think you guys make the point so well all the time. You know, if we don't do this, we own the arena. Okay. And it's our, this is our state's only major world-class arena. We know from an independent report the city did that it requires just over $500 million in just maintenance, right? Just to bring it up to modern standards. We still have to find a way to pay for that so that we can have all of the things here. How would we do that in a scenario in the future where we lose the biggest tenant, right? I mean, we need to get a deal done with them the way any responsible building owner would get done with their major tenant.
Yeah. I know you maybe haven't had one-on-one time from with him, and I know you mentioned the meeting and how kind of short he was with some of the answers. But I also feel like in other settings, he's kind of basically pointed out that everybody thinks he's going to move a team when he buys it, and then he doesn't. Like, he's negotiated through stuff before with Carolina and what happened over there with the Hurricanes. Just kind of the cultural shakeup it kind of has felt to have an owner like this versus what the city had for so long with Paul Allen and the estate once he passed away, of just a guy coming in, no nonsense. He's not going to rah-rah your city. He just is basically saying, let's get it done. Let's have an ups, you know, a great arena for this team, and I want to win. Like, how it's resonated, I think, with a lot of people around the city, both in a political standpoint and maybe business owners around the city that you have at least experienced.
So I think that this is a, you know, we've had stability for so long, right, in terms of ownership, and we had, I mean, we truly had one of the most unique owners in all of sports, right? We had one of the 10 wealthiest men in the world who owned the team. And it was really a passion project for him, right? I mean, he paid for the arena. They ran the franchise or ran the arena, no cost to the city, right? We had spending on our team that was commensurate many years with the largest markets because of that, even though we're one of the smallest markets. And one thing I point out is it also just kind of gloss over, the Blazers are not a money-making enterprise just from an annual revenue perspective, okay? They don't make tons of money in the years they do, and there are many years they don't. We never really had to discuss those things here because of our owner. And so we're good. We're just going through something that every other city has already gone through, both ownership changeover and renovation of our arena. We're the last, you know, we're the last city in the NBA city in the nation to have this public discussion. So a lot of this is just transition. Just, you know, we're not super comfortable as humans with change a lot, if you haven't noticed. And so a lot of this is that. For my, you know, 30 years plus of being a Blazers fan and following the team religiously, I think we want someone who cares and will put a winner on the court. That's the one thing I know through all of these years when we've had our ups and downs, whenever the Blazers get a winner on the court, this city is alive like nothing else. So, you know, I look at a guy who's bought our team and just won a Stanley Cup, okay, with his NHL franchise. And if there was one time he showed passion in the interview last week, it was about winning. He said, I think nobody hates losing more than me, or I can't be in the arena when we lose, or something like that. I mean, as a fan and as a team, as a Portlander who wants a Blazers championship back here, you know, that's the kind of owner I want. You know, I want an owner who's dead serious about winning. And I think we're going to have to get used to that being done in a different way than we have in the past.
Yeah, we're super against it. We do love having you on. We appreciate you listening. Do you, real quick, do you have an idea of a timeline when the climate fund stuff will, they will decide the funding for that? Is there a timeline in mind on that?
Yeah, the process is, the city has transparently publish the schedule. If you look, there's a work session scheduled with the city council. To their credit, they published that already. So all of this is scheduled to be done by the end of the summer.
Okay.
So, you know, this isn't something that should drag on for a long time. You know, this is government. Are they going to hit their deadlines? Not necessarily, but I would expect this to be resolved. And I am optimistic it's going to get done. It's going to get done in a way that this community can feel proud about. And that should be resolved by the time we get to, you know, end of end of August, end of September.
Hey, everybody take a deep breath. We got a ways to go here. Yeah. There's a process that's got to play out. John Isaacs, at John Isaacs OR on Twitter. You go give him a follow. The Executive Vice President of Public Affairs for the Portland Metro Chambers. John, we really appreciate the time, the insight on the deal this morning. Thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll reach out again as this stuff evolves.
My pleasure. And anytime you want to just bring me on and I can share my opinions about the Blazers, I'm game. All right, guys?
You got it. Thanks, John. Have a good one.
Okay. Take care.
There you go. Bye-bye. John Isaacs. Good stuff from him. Hopefully calming some fears out there about where this is all at. It's a process. It's playing out. Still got a lot of steps to go. Let's get back into a little long there. The news. Time Lord has returned. We got the mail sack in the final hour. More on the Blazers final hour next 105.1 FM The Fam.